time now for the Lou Epton Show. Brought to you by Lou Epton Enterprises. It's time not to just talk about it, but do something. It's time to get mad. The views expressed are those of the moderator, the guests, and the callers. They do not necessarily represent the views of the station, the advertisers, or their agencies. And now, here's Lou Epton.
From Las Vegas, Nevada. Hello, everyone. Oh, okay. We're on? No. Give me a moment.
Sorry about that. Good evening. From Las Vegas, hello, everyone. Oh, boy, it must be, yeah, that day of the week. In any event, symbology, religious symbology. How about political symbology? And then there is the occult symbology. Tonight we're going to learn about all three from an expert in the field. His name is Jordan Maxwell. He's been a preeminent researcher in the field since 1959. And let me tell you, his work exploring the hidden foundations of Western religions and political movements has created an enthusiastic response from everyone who's heard him. We're going to join and have Jordan with us in just a moment. Right now, I want to remind everyone, Wednesday night, that's the 19th, starting at 7 p.m. at the Palace Station in the Roundhouse Ballroom, and it's on West Sahara, and I-15. We're inviting everyone to attend a very special seminar put on by Spartan Health Foods. It's going to feature Charlie the Fox. He's going to tell you you're not only young once, but you can be that for a lifetime. You're going to learn about how to reverse the aging process, why cholesterol does not initiate heart disease, the latest research on breast and prostate cancer, and new breakthroughs on arthritis, garlic, and health, the missing link, fiber, aspirin substitute for cardiovascular health, and a great deal more. Put it on your calendar. Plan to be with us Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. at the Palace Station in the Roundhouse Ballroom. Let's get together and enjoy and hear Mr. Charles the Fox. All right. Let's get together with our guest this evening, Jordan Maxwell. If you're in Las Vegas, our number is 262-5834. Elsewhere, from Canada to Mexico, we're toll-free at 1-800-265-9644. Or if you'd rather just send us a fax, our number is area 702-262-5653. And we'll be back with Jordan Maxwell right after we all hear this. All right, now we're back. And let's say good evening to our very special guest, Jordan Maxwell. Jordan, great to have you back with us.
Thank you very much, Lou, for inviting me. It's always a pleasure.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you with us. Symbology is such a large field. Where do we want to start?
Well, let's start at the beginning.
Okay, makes sense.
If we go back, say, 10 to 13,000 years ago, when man first began drawing symbols and emblems on cave walls, from that point on, we begin to see a whole system of communication developing through the use of symbols and emblems. And, of course, our alphabet and all the other ways that we communicate today throughout the whole world is based on symbols and emblems.
Mm-hmm.
And as I have said so often, that symbols are like letters of the alphabet. If you can put them together correctly and understand them, then they tell you a story. And so much of what is going on in the world today is rather obvious if you understand the symbols and the emblems which are being used by the power plays and by the people in the positions of power.
How do you mean obvious?
Well, as I said, the whole system of symbols is very difficult because there's so much of it, as you said. But if you go back to the earliest times, like to pre-Sumerian times, we're talking maybe 7,000 years ago, the ancient Sumerians, for instance, said that their gods, the word for God in the ancient Sumerian was Il, I-L, Il, and later on it was I-L-E-S, Iles, or the Iles, and the Iles was said to be up on the mountain. They lived up high on the mountain. They lived up on the hill, H-I-L-L.
Hmm.
And then from there, the Iles became the gods who were up on the mountain. And consequently, down through the ages, the gods have always been up on the holy mountain, the Iles, or the hills. And then when we get into the Roman Empire, the Caesars of Rome rule from up on the hill. And incidentally, the Roman seat of power in the ancient pagan Rome was called the hill. They were up on Capitoline Hill. And today we still have the Roman Caesars ruling from Capitol Hill with their Senate. And so in order to really understand the terms which are used and the symbols which are used in government and religion today, you need to go to the foundations of where things began and get under the foundation and stand under the foundations to see on which it is based. And that's how you get understanding. Now, a classic example of symbolism, which we really have not seen, which we walked right past and didn't even see it, is our Capitol building in Washington, D.C. The Capitol, as I said, Rome's seat of power under the Caesars was on Capitol Hill. And the Senate in Rome had a symbol, which was the fasci. In the ancient Roman Empire, the symbol for the Senate of Rome was a fasces, or a fasci, which was a bundle of sticks with a hatchet head. And it was later on used by Mussolini in the Second World War as a symbol for world fascism. And today, the symbol for the United States Senate in Washington, D.C. are two fascies crossed at the bottom of the seal, two fascies. And when the President of the United States makes his State of the Union message, you will see on television almost every night and continually on C-SPAN, that room in which the President gives his State of the Union message. Always, the next time you see that room, look on both sides of the podium. Don't look at the speaker, but look on both sides of the podium, and you will see two large fascies, the symbols of world fascism, right there in your face, plain sight. And consequently, it has to do with Roman fascism and the power of Rome and its operation in this country today. A really interesting study, which I've been doing for years, is on the Roman gods. And the ancient god of Rome was originally, the god in ancient Rome was Peter, P-I-T-E-R. We have come to misunderstand that the first pope was called Peter, P-E-T-E-R. However, the religion of Rome goes back to the worship of the god Peter, P-I-T-E-R. And when you add the prefix I-U, which is a very interesting subject in its own, and we'll do that one time later, but I-U in front of Peter becomes I-U Peter. And, of course, when you're changing from Latin into English, you can interchange I's with J's, and it becomes J-U Peter. Or Jupiter, and Jupiter was the god of all gods in Rome. And consequently, the symbols of Jupiter ruling from on Capitol Hill, Capitoline Hill, with the Roman Senate, there is so much going on in our country which we are being dominated by the old European order of things. And in Europe, for about 1,600 years, the Roman universal system of government was referred to as the old order of Europe. And of course, anything today from Europe is called old world order. In America, the system that has been foisted upon us behind our back is now called, because America is, of course, the new world, so the system is called a new world order. But
the
new world order is based on the old Iupita worship in ancient Rome. And consequently, when you see the Vatican, look at the architecture of the Vatican. You will see a Vatican dome. The word dome comes from the Latin word domus, for God, the household of God, or domus. And consequently, the Capitol in Washington, D.C. has the same kind of a dome.
Yeah.
There is all these symbols which are implying that we in America are being dominated by an old order of Europe and the new world, or a new world order. And consequently, that's why I say that this new world order thing is both political and religious, and we need to understand the pagan religions and the occult symbols coming out of the ancient Roman Empire.
All right, we're going to hear more about all of this, but I've got to ask you, what started you on this search to understand all of these symbols for all these thousands of years?
Yes, it's a fascinating how I bumped into all of this. I was born and raised in a household where my mother had an uncle who worked in the Vatican Secretary of State's office. He was a civilian, not clergy, but he worked in the Secretary of State's office. And every couple of years, he would come back to visit the family. And when he would, I had two uncles who were federal judges. And they would come over when the old man would come back. The federal judges were there. My great-grandfather was a senator from the state of Florida. I had Catholic priests in my family. I had all kinds of nefarious individuals in my family. And so when the old man would come back from the Vatican, all the men would get together and talk about such things as politics, religion, and international banking and money. And so I grew up listening to this kind of talk, and at the ripe old age of about 16, I pretty well figured I had heard all of it, and I decided to leave home and start out on my own. And the moment I did, at 17 years old, I became fascinated with some of the things I was learning on my travels about the Nazi symbolism, communist symbolism, and all of these things which I had heard as a child began to come back to me. And for some reason, I just got stuck in this whole system of symbolism and catchphrases and terms. And the more you learn about government and religion and international money, the more you know there's a system in operation here.
All right, we're going to have to do our quick timeout, so stay with us. If you joined us late, our guest this evening, Jordan Maxwell. If you want to get involved in our conversation, if you're in Las Vegas, we're at 262-5834. Elsewhere, we're toll-free from Canada to Mexico at 1-800-265-9644. Or if you just want to send us a fax in studio, it's area 702-262-5653. Stay there. We'll be back with Jordan Maxwell right now. Please, let's hear this. All right, now we're back with our guest, Jordan Maxwell. Jordan, you mentioned the Nazi regime.
Yes.
And others. Do you want to pick it up there? Do you have...
Yes. Oh. As a matter of fact, that whole thing about the Nazi connection in America is very, very interesting. If you remember, Ronald Reagan went to Germany when he was president to visit the war dead. And he went to, I think it was called Pittsburgh, with the burial... spot in Germany for the Nazi SS officers, and that seemed to have slipped past most of the Jewish population. I would have thought that they would have picked up on that quickly, a president of the United States going to honor the war dead, end quote, and going to the German burial grounds for the Nazi officers. But there's all kinds of things like that going on right in front of us. Well, I mean, what was his name? Who was Secretary General Kurt Waldheim,
yes,
who was Secretary General of the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knew he was a Nazi. When you understand the whole symbolism behind and why the Roman Catholic Church, incidentally, was supporting, they had contracts. They had actually two concordats or contracts. The Vatican did with Adolf Hitler. Fascinating story about how the Nazis and what they believed and why they believed what they did and their symbolism that they used, the swastika, and it represented the sun and truth and righteousness brought out by the sun. And I've done a whole article on that in a recent magazine, and I'm getting ready to do a major 2-hour video on all these ancient symbols, because I think it's an idea whose time has come to show how religious and emblems from the religious world have bled into the political arena, and so much of our symbolism today is a staggering subject once we understand what these things mean. Like the Pope today is called Pope John. That's not his actual name. John is not his name. He's taken Pope John in honor of the Knights of St. John, the Masonic order. Yes, and consequently, we're talking about the Knights of the Knights Templars, the Knights. One of the symbols, one of the accompanying orders of the Knights Templars, were called the Knights Hospitallers.
Uh-huh.
They were the ones that gave us the hospitals and our medical plans. And so, but I'm saying that we need to understand where we get Blue Cross and Blue Shield and Red Cross and all of these symbols. And of course, the Red Cross goes back to the Red Cross of St. George, which is in the Union Jack flag in Europe. You know, one of our founding fathers, and one of the presidents many years ago, said and warned us not to get involved in foreign affairs.
Yes.
Not to get involved with all of that intrigue going on throughout the world, but just stay home and mind your own business. Well, that worked at the very beginning, but today we are totally, totally taken at every turn with intrigue, symbols, ancient societies, fraternal orders, secret societies in banking and government and religion.
And you're suggesting it's not really by chance, so they're not just fancy symbols that they feel would look good on their letterhead?
No, not at all. Not at all. Symbols are very, very, very important.
The common one today, of course, that everyone is talking about is the pyramid.
Yes. Now, well, the pyramid, of course, the word pyramid comes from pyra, meaning fire, and mid, meaning middle. Pyramid, or pyramid, is the fire in the middle. Has to do with the sun. It has to do with sexual fire in the middle of the human body. And that's why when you walk into any restaurants or public buildings, you'll see on the men's restroom a triangle and on the women's restroom a circle, because these are very important symbols in sexual symbolism. But the pyramid goes all the way back, as we know, to Egypt. But even in Washington, D.C., you have the Washington Monument, and of course that's an Egyptian symbol too. That's a obelisk,
yes.
The Egyptian obelisk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people do not know that the Washington Monument, which is an Egyptian obelisk, the obelisk in Egypt represented the male phallic, and it connects to the oval office, the female. And of course the waters in betweens, or the reflecting pond in betweens, were the waters of chaos. And consequently, when you were born, you came out of your mother's water, and your mother's water broke and you came out to life. And that's where we get the idea that if you're going to be born again, you have to be baptized and go back into Mother Earth, Mother Nature, and be born again by being baptized in water. Symbolism is everywhere.
It's such a big, big topic. I don't know if you're going to be able to get that much in a two-hour video.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm thinking in terms of maybe 3 2-hour videos, because I don't know even where to begin. Do you start with religion and show how it's affected politics, or do you start with the kings of the ancient world and show how they affected religion? We have such a magnificent country, which has given us the opportunity to have libraries, to have the opportunity to learn, to study, to read. And one of the criteria for freedom is to make yourself available to information and knowledge, you know, buyer beware kind of thing.
Yeah. Well,
and so that's been my big crusade.
That's your life.
Yes, it has been.
Okay.
I just want to awaken people to what terms and catchphrases and symbols mean.
Fair enough. I've got more questions, but we've already got people lined up with their own questions and their comments, and whenever you're ready, why, we'll take some of those as well.
All right, well, let me make this one point, that in our legal system, incidentally, we have a what we call a legal judicial system.
Yeah.
The judiciary is based on Jupiter. That's why you have a judge, J-U, Jupiter, judicial, judge. It goes back to the old Roman system based on the ancient Roman Empire. Even our word justice goes back to the Roman Emperor Justinian. And a very important is that we call our judiciary a judicial system. And the word system is a Latin word for the Roman sewer. So consequently, that's what we have, a Roman sewer system that we call a judicial system. One other interesting point, I think, because I'm interested in terms and words, is that you have, for instance, in England, you have British justice.
Yes.
In Arabic countries, you have Islamic justice. In the Middle Ages, of course, you would have church or Catholic justice. But in America, we have something called criminal justice. I don't think that's by mere chance that those particular words are chosen. It's not American justice. It's not the United States justice. It's a criminal justice system. And as I said, you know, it's. I don't think these words are chosen by chance. I don't think any of this happens by mere chance. And anyone who does think that these things are happening to our country and that we're getting shortchanged and lied to every day, if you go to the same market every day and get cheated, after a few years, you got to figure out that this is not happening by chance. And if all of these things which were happening in our country today, the destruction of our liberties, taking away of our freedoms, the ability to speak out and to travel and to move around, the kind of things which are going on. If you think these things are happening by chance, you better go back and do your homework, because the people who are running this government behind the scenes are very, very intelligent people. They know what they're doing. They know how to do what they're doing. And it's the oldest story in the book. Keep the people occupied with bread and circuses. Keep them entertained. And all the time, they will never suspect that they're being taken over slowly but surely. So that's what I feel is something that I have to do, is at least awaken people to the fact that we have some very sinister powers behind our government, which are seeking to take away from us that which we have worked so hard to gain, and that's our freedom.
All right. I've got a couple of questions, but I'll hold them for just a little bit. Todd's been very patient. Let's see what he's got on his mind. Good evening.
Good evening, Will. Good evening, Jordan.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, Jordan, I've been a fan of yours for a couple of years. And last year I made a trip, my second trip to Europe, and in particularly Rome. And I had a couple questions about the Vatican. Why is there so much Egyptian symbolism in the whole Vatican as a whole? And in St. Peter's Cathedral, I saw a symbol of a serpent inside of a sun on top of some pillars. Do you know what that symbol's about?
Oh, yes, yes. So much, you see, that has to do with also why the English or the British royalty spent so much money, like Lord Carnarvon and Lord Carver and all of those different British aristocrats have spent so much money financing expeditions into Egypt. And England has been very, very interested in the ancient Egyptians and poking around tombs and finding King Tutankhamun's tomb. But it is not for the reason you think. It's very clever what they are doing. The British royalty and the Roman Caesars were very interested, as other nations like Alexander the Great. They were all interested in Egypt, but not because of the beautiful artifacts that they could come back and show. They were interested in Egypt because they realized that the ancient Egyptians, the first dynasties of Egypt, the pharaohs and the Egyptian people were a very, very powerful occult people. They had all kinds of magic and things which they knew, and we still don't know how they knew it, but they had all kinds of high technology and knowledge about how to control the minds. They had mind over matter. They had some very profound magic and powerful stuff that they were into, Egyptians, and that's why England wants that knowledge. That's why Rome wants that knowledge. That's why the powers that be in this world are all over Egypt, digging around. They want to find out how to even perfect their magic over us even more so. So that's why they're very interested in Egypt, because of what Egypt was.
Okay, I want to thank Todd very much. We've got to do a quick timeout. Again, if you joined us late, our guest this evening, Jordan Maxwell. If you want to get involved in our conversation, if you're in Las Vegas, we're at 262-5834. Elsewhere from Canada to Mexico, we're toll-free, 1-800-265-9644. Or if you just want to send us a fax, it's area 702-262-5653. Stay there. We'll be back with Jordan Maxwell right after we all hear this. All right, and again, we're back with our guest, Jordan Maxwell. Before we go back to the phones, Jordan, you've used the term a number of times. And at one point earlier off the air, when we were just in conversation, you broke down the term and the meaning of the term British.
Oh, yes.
Would you do that for all of us now?
Yes. The word British comes from the Hebrew word, the Hebrew word berith. Berith in Hebrew is a contract or a covenant. And the word in Hebrew, ish, means man or men, can be used plural or singular. Ish is man or men, and berith is a contract or a covenant. And that's why we have Bill Clinton running around when he was running for president talking about a new covenant for America, a new berith for America. And, of course, the Republicans are walking, running around talking about a new contract for America. All of these terms are red light signals popping up right in front of your face, and we don't realize it. Brit-ish comes from the Hebrew berith-ish, the covenant man or men of the covenant, which is implying that there was a covenant between God and man for a kingdom, which is the New Testament, is the testament for a new kingdom that will come to the earth to dominate the whole world of mankind. It will be called God's kingdom. And it will unite all nations and all peoples and all races of people under God's kingdom. And that's what England is called, the United Kingdom. And when the King of England is crowned, listen to what the Archbishop of Canterbury reads to the new king as his initiation ritual, where he says something to the effect that the King of England is taking this position of King of England for Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of David, ruling for Jehovah, the God of the Hebrews, until such time as Jesus comes back. The King of England is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that is why in the Western world today, everyone runs around and falls all over themselves to see and to crawl on their knees before the Queen and King of England and Lady Di and all of that other silly nonsensical stuff that's going on. When this country was founded to get away from that kind of servitude and subjective servitude to a king, the King of England and the British royalty see themselves as the British, the covenant man or the men of the covenant, who are going to bring about a new order of the world, a new world order in which all nations, races, creeds, and tongues will be joined together under one kingdom, God's kingdom, that will unite the whole world. And it has to do with why we, our state is called New York. New York is the empire state, and that's why the United Nations is in New York, because of the British. The United Nations color is a particular color of blue, which has to do with, it's called Masonic blue. And when you get into this whole thing of the British Israel Freemasonry and the occult Freemasonry coming out of the Middle Ages, the Knights Templars, all of these symbols and signs are connected to our banking institutions, our churches, our government. Our entire life in this country are dominated by secret societies, fraternal orders, religious institutions, Jesuits, and my God, all kinds of monstrosities are going on in our government, and the people have no idea about any of it. I used to sit and listen to this kind of talk by people who knew what was going on, the judges, and as I said, my mother's uncle who worked in the Vatican. I used to listen to things about this, and I even asked my uncles on occasions, well, if you are so knowledgeable and so important in politics, why can't you go out and tell people this and do something about this? And they would look at me as if I was a simple-minded child. I have no idea in the world. You can't do that. You don't go out and tell people. It's a business. It's a whole system of business, of money, of control. And they would just shrug their shoulders, and eventually I discovered that they are a part of it. And the people who are a part of it, most of them don't even know that there is a gigantic system in operation. Until finally, when you get into government, you find that out, that there is one system. It works all over the world. We're talking about, as a matter of fact, if you want to understand banking, what you have to first of all understand, if you want to know anything about international banking, and that's what's hurting us the most, is money and banking, you need to understand who the Knights Templars were, the Knights of the Temple of Solomon, which was founded back in the 10th century as a Masonic order. Today, they have given us what we call today banking. And so we need to understand that our banking institutions, our religious institutions, our government institutions, especially our educational and medical institutions, are dominated by fraternal orders, secret societies, and I'm thinking that this is an idea whose time has come to look at this kind of thing. Let's get it out in the open and see what's really there. Because that's where the salvation of our country is going to come from. Not from the top down, but from the bottom up, us getting together and investigating who is running this country behind the scenes and who are these societies that are milking us and destroying our economic basis, ripping us off and leaving us for dead. I am saying it's organized.
All right. Fair enough. Let's see what Sam has to add to this. Sam, good evening. You're on with...
Great show. I'm looking at the back of a dime, Jordan.
Mercury.
Is it true the back of the dime we now use as a 10-cent dime is a fasci?
Well, no. That was the old Mercury dime. The old Mercury dime was a fasci. The new dime has the torch of illumination for the Illuminati. The torch of illumination is on the new dime.
Oh, the old Mercury dime is pre-64, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that would be pre-64. It changed in the early 60s.
What is the... real symbol behind the gold fringe around the flag?
That gold fringe around the flag, it implies martial law. It implies military justice.
Is that because orange or yellow is the symbol of gold, and gold was the money of the sea, of international trade?
Of course, and that's why we have something called the Holy See, and their color of the Holy See in Rome was gold and white. And it has to do with the symbols of color. I mean, even in our movies and motion pictures, these things are all in reference works that are common to all of us. We can find them in libraries if we just go to look.
Why is there an eagle over the Federal Reserve Building in Washington, D.C.? You see that big eagle sitting on top of the building?
The American eagle. The eagle was a symbol for the sun, the rising sun in Babylon. In the old ancient Babylonian, Akkadian, Sumerian tradition, the sun, the rising sun, was always symbolized by an eagle, a spread eagle. And consequently, our American eagle is a symbol of the sun in Babylon.
Okay.
The Knight Templar.
Yeah.
What book could we read about this banking system? Because this seems to be the root of the problem, is this Knight Templar. And is Bob Dole, is he a 33rd degree Mason? Yes or no?
Oh, well, I don't know,
Sam,
for sure, but I suspect. Maybe. I don't know. I myself do not know. I haven't looked into that. I would be a bit surprised. But if you're interested in symbols and emblems and the kind of thing I'm talking about, I have a book that I would like to offer to anyone who would be interested. It's called, it's a 400-page book that is absolutely fascinating. I did not write it, but it's a fascinating book. It was taken, it dropped out of circulation as far back as 1949. And I have rediscovered it and had it reprinted, and it's a 400-page book called Sex, Symbols, and Stars in the Ancient Religions. Sex, Symbol, and Stars in the Ancient Religions.
Hmm.
It's a 400-page book with 388 illustrations. It gets into all of the occult symbolism in religions and our institutions and where these things have come from. And if you're interested, I would like to have you just call me on my 800 number, 24 hours a day, anytime you can call and order the book. And the 800 number is 551-5328.
Okay.
That's 800 is 551-5328. It's a 400-page book called Sex, Symbol, and the Stars in Ancient Religion. Just ask for the symbols book and give us your phone number and an address, and we'll get back to you on that.
Fair enough, and I want to thank you, Sam. Let's see what Ron has to say. Good evening, Ron.
Yeah, good evening. Dr. Maxwell, I got a couple of quick comments and a question. Comments to that, when you mentioned gold of the sea, isn't it true that just prior to the American Revolution that if some of the colonists used to violate the trade laws, that the British would take them up to Nova Scotia and try them in what they call an admiralty court?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Second thing is on Egypt, I think we should have all assumed a long time ago that it's a very pertinent place because that's where God took his children out from, right?
Well, that's very important.
Yeah. Anyway, my question is this. That Washington Monument, I think last time I heard your lecture, you mentioned the fact that there's 555 feet above ground.
That was Anthony Hilbert that brought that out. That was Anthony Hilbert on one of the programs I did with him. It is, in fact, 555 feet high. And he was saying that, and I don't know if he might have even had the document to that, that there's at least 111 feet beneath the ground, which would make it 666 feet. I think that's interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, the reason
But I shouldn't be a bit surprised.
Yeah.
The reason I brought it up is because Louis Farrakhan was talking about it up in Washington, you know.
Yeah.
But he didn't mention the bottom part under the ground. He probably, if he'd have known about that, I'm sure he would have brought it out.
Well, I think you couldn't put something that tall, that high, without having a buried in foundation in the earth. And that was the idea, you know, that it's buried in the earth 111 feet. But I don't know. That was Anthony Hill that was talking about that.
Be most interesting. We've got to do a timeout. And I want to thank you very much, Ron. Again, our numbers, if you're in Las Vegas, we're at 262-5834. Elsewhere, Canada to Mexico, we're toll-free, 1-800-265-9644. And if you joined us late, our guest this evening, Jordan Maxwell. Stay there. We'll be back right after we all hear this. All right, and again, we're back with our guest, Jordan Maxwell. We've got a full board of people with questions or comments. Let's see what's on Carolyn's mind.
Well, I have one on color symbolism and clubs.
Okay.
Color is light blue and gold and white. I have a friend of mine who had his home furnished in that, and in the coming-of-age theme was all blue. And then the other, I wondered how these symbolisms related to Indian symbolism, and if Demolay and Rainbow Girls and Eastern Star and Masonic and that worked up and brought younger people up through the ranks.
Well, the De Molay is based on the for young men, it's called the De Molay, which is a Masonic order for young men, is based on the name of Jacques De Molay, who was put to death by the Pope of Rome and the French King Philippe le Val. And King Philippe and the Pope put the head of the Knights Templars to death because at one time they were good Catholics doing a good work, and then they got so powerful that they got richer than the Pope and started eyeing his position and eyeing his money. And so the Pope decided that they had grown as far as they're going to grow, and so he ordered the King of France to burn Jacques de Molay at the stake for thinking such terrible things as taking over the Vatican finances. And consequently, we have the order of the de Molays. And the symbol of blue, as I said, blue is a very important color in the British Israel Freemasonic order. Even the first 3 degrees of Freemasonry are called the blue degrees. Blue is a very important color. It goes all the way back into the Sumerian time, when blue was, of course, the color for the sky, and God's color was blue because God was up in the sky and he oversaw all the world. So there's a very important colors. Colors are very important in symbolism too, and sounds, and
the rainbow girls.
Yes, rainbow girls. Well, the young girls in a Masonic order for young girls, and then the Eastern Star. Of course, the Eastern Star can be one of two things. It can be the sun in the ancient world, because it is a star that comes up in the east, but it was also Lucifer. It was also the star was Venus, because it was the star of the east. It just goes on and on. Now, I have there are many good reference works in the library on occult symbolism and colors and terms, but that's a classic example of what I'm talking about, is that all of these fraternal orders get the children from the beginning, and they begin to indoctrinate. That's why when you go to a school, you go through 12 grades. And the Freemasonry has a 33rd degree, because Jesus died at 33, and they had 12 apostles, so there were 12 grades we go to school. And,
Of course, Jordan, 12 seems to be a very predominant number. There are 12 hours of day, 12 hours of night, 12 months a year.
That's exactly right.
There's maybe 100 more examples.
Absolutely.
Where 12, the either 12 or a multiple of or a division of.
Absolutely.
There are 60 seconds to a minute, which is 5 12s.
Exactly.
And 60 minutes to an hour, which is again.
Of course. And the reason for the 12 in the Bible, if you look in the concordance, in the back of the Bible in the concordance, look up the word 12, you'll just see pages of 12.
Yeah.
That goes back in the Bible to the 12 signs of the zodiac, or the 12 constellations of the ancient heavens. That's why we have 12 signs of the zodiac.
And 12 members of a jury.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's see what John can add to this. Good evening.
It also goes back to the 12 tribes.
Yep.
12 tribes.
Yep.
12 tribes.
Another thing, when they were signing the concordance with Hitler,
uh-huh.
The Pope at the time, who according to Catholic law is infallible, declared Hitler the greatest living Christian of all time.
Now you're talking about Pope Pius?
I think that's Pius the 12th. He was Vatican Secretary of State, and then when Hitler came into power, he became Pope Pius the 12th. Pius the 12th, yeah.
I don't know that I've ever heard that comment made before about his...
But it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Nothing surprises me in the world I live in anymore.
I'm beginning to feel much the same way.
Right.
It's all a big puzzle.
As a matter of fact, Lou, I got a couple for you. Why
okay.
Why does the Pope wear the Jewish yarmulke?
Well, I often wondered that. You tell us.
Okay, and why were the priests in Israel called Nazarites? You know what Nazarite meant?
No.
Why is the ace the highest card in the deck? And why do we call Israel the state of, not the country of the nation, but the state of
I've
Israel?
I've asked that question.
Yeah, well, I got a lot of...
Okay. In the meantime, I guess we've got to do that timeout right
okay.
now. I apologize.
That's all right.
Gina, hang on. We'll try and get you on the air. Stay with us, everyone. Again, our guest this evening, Jordan Maxwell, most fascinating individual with this information. We'll be back right after we all hear this. All right, and we're back with our guest, Jordan Maxwell. I think if we have it very short, we've got time for a call from Gina. Good evening.
Mr. Maxwell?
Yes.
The two axes refer also to what they call the Panetru in ancient Egypt.
Uh-huh.
Which
yes.
is the ruling gods.
Yes.
But there are, there should actually be three of them together, but how do I explain that? They are a circle of nine forces of nature, and
yes,
there are 27 of them in groups of three.
I have pictures in my library of the Egyptian axes.
Yes.
Yes.
I was initiated in the Great Pyramid.
Were you?
About Egyptian magic would blow your mind.
Oh, I can imagine.
They will never find what they're looking for digging over there.
No, of course not.
Okay. The pharaohs were never buried in those tombs.
Not at all. Not at all. That's why I've always been amazed at hearing on the television them saying that the pyramids were the great tombs of the pharaohs. No such a thing. No pharaoh was ever buried in a pyramid.
The pyramids were called the Benben stones, and the Benben refers to the phoenix, or that which regenerates itself in its own fire.
Oh, yes, and I totally understand that.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Sure.
Thank you.
Is there anywhere I can get a hold of you and talk to you in private?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, do say that you want to do that when you call my answering service. Tell them to have me call you.
Is that
and then
that
leave your name and number, and I'll call you back. And let me give that out for everyone.
Yes.
800, anytime, 24 hours a day, call 800-551-5328. And when you call, it's an answering service only. Just leave a message, and I will get back to you, because there's no need to discuss anything with them. It's an answering service, but you can call 24 hours a day, 800-551-5328.
Okay, thank you.
And then I will get right back to you. Lou.
Yes.
I would like to say that if anyone's interested in occult symbols and religions and all the ancient world stuff, again, I want to just make the available the book.
Okay,
it's
got about 20 seconds.
Okay, it's a 400-page book called Sex, Symbols, and Stars. Call me at the 800 number, 551-5328. And we can send it to you.
Okay. Jordan, I want to thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
I wish we had a lot more time because we've barely scratched the surface.
We'll do it again.
Yes, we will. You take care, and I'll talk to you very soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And I want to thank everyone out there for being with us. Lou Epton saying, hey, have as good of a day as you can, won't you? And we'll talk to you real, real soon. Until then, good night. For a recorded copy of this evening's broadcast, simply send $7 to Lou Epton Enterprises, 953 East Sahara Avenue, Suite 9B, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89104.
You've been listening to The Lou Epton Show, presented by Lou Epton Enterprises, the show that asks you to do something that will make all our lives better. The views expressed on the program are those of the moderator, the guests, and the callers. They do not necessarily represent those of the station, the advertisers, or their agencies. This has been a Lou Epton Enterprises radio production.
From the Canadian border to Mexico and throughout nine western states, you're hearing the hot one. This is 840 KBEG, North Las Vegas.